I left the city and made my way downriver alone to meet the ship I awaited without knowing when it would come. I reached the old wharf, that inexplicable structure. The city and its harbor have always been where they are, a quarter league further upriver. I observed among its pilings the writhing patch of water that ebbs between them. A dead monkey, still whole, still undecomposed, drifted back and forth with a certain precision upon those ripples and eddies without exit. All his life, the water at Forest's Edge had beckoned him to a journey he did not take until he was no longer a monkey, but only a monkey's corpse. The water that bore him up tried to bear him away, but he was caught among the posts of the decrepit wharf, and there he was, ready to go and not going. And there we were, ready to go and not going. Nature, as she exists in this country, is most gentle, and for that very reason I'm at pains to keep my distance from her. For she is childlike and might captivate me, and in moments of lassitude, when I'm barely half awake, she may bring me sudden treacherous thoughts that persist far too long and give neither satisfaction nor repose. Nature holds up the mirror of external things. Were I to submit to her wiles, I might recognize myself there. Such musings were for myself alone, excluded from conversation with the gobernador or any of the rest of them, by my scant or even non-existent capacity for making friends with whom I might unburden myself. The waiting, the exasperation, were a long soliloquy I communicated to no one, as the occasionally rather insolent Ventura Prieto would remind me. That afternoon, he attached himself to me, not having sought me out, of course, merely by chance. He remarked that in this flat country, I seemed to have been cast down a well. To me, he said it only the once, but to the others many times, heedless of what everyone knew, that I was a fighting cock, or, at the very least, ringmaster of a cockfighting pit. He appeared as the monkey was entertaining me, and I pointed it out in order to distract him and ward off questions about what I might be waiting for in that spot. And Ventura Prieto, my inferior, pondered as if seeking to outdo me with some greater curiosity or stranger discovery of his own. He then proceeded to recount one of his so-called investigations, though whether they were any such thing I cannot say, for I suspected him of insinuating comparisons. These investigations of his disconcerted me and sometimes echoed intolerably in my thoughts. He said that in this very river there lives a fish that the river spurns, and the fish must spend its life going to and fro like the monkey, though with greater difficulty, for the fish is alive, and must wage continual battle against the ebb and flow that seek to cast it upon dry land. And these long-suffering fish, Ventura Prieto said, so attached, perhaps despite themselves, to the very element that repudiates them, must devote nearly all their energies to the conquest of remaining in place, and though they are always in danger of being cast from the river's bosom, so much so that they are never to be found in the middle of the current, but always and only along the banks, the span of their life is long, longer than that of other fish. Only when their effort exhausts them to the point that they can no longer seek food do they succumb, he said. I had followed this story, which I did not believe, with morbid curiosity. The longer I considered the matter, the more reluctant I was to think of this fish and myself at the same time. I therefore proposed to Ventura Prieto that we return to the city and stifled my opinions. I sought to occupy my mind with the reason for my stroll, the fact that I was awaiting a ship, and that if a ship came, it might bring a message from Marta and the children, even if she and they did not come or were never to come.